أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I begin in the name of the Almighty God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, the one who has created everything in utmost perfection. And may the peace and blessings of the Almighty God be upon his pure and beloved messenger, the peak of his creation, the symbol of humanity, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and his immaculate progeny of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, especially the leader of our time, the awaited savior, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah. May Allah hasten his reappearance and make us all amongst his sincere and dedicated servants. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifina'ik alayka minni سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. Peace be upon you, O Aba Abdullah. In our discussion this evening, we will continue with the journey of Imam Hussein salawatullahi alayhi to the holy land of Karbala, to the land of Bala, to the land of tragedy, to the land of pain and sorrow, and to the land of sacrifice, patience, and victory. In our previous discussions, we've examined the life of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the holy city of Mecca, and the journey of Imam Hussein alayhi salam from Mecca to Zarud. Now we will continue with the following stations or cities that the Imam alayhi salam stopped at before he arrived, the land of Karbala. After the city of Zarud, on his way from Mecca to Kufa, to Iraq, the Imam alayhi salam stops at a city by the name of Al-Tha'labiyya. It is reported that when the Imam was close to Tha'labiyya, he comes across a man who had just come back from Kufa. When that man sees the Imam alayhi salam, he turns away. Now, two men from the Asad tribe, they were also present there. They noticed that this man tried not to meet the Imam alayhi salam. So they chase him, they go after him, and they tell him, what's going on? You came here, but you avoided meeting Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That man was also from the tribe of Bani Asad. So they came from the same tribe, and they told them that we're from the same tribe. So tell us what's going on. He tells them what happened in Kufa. These two men come to Imam Hussein salawatullahi alayhi and they tell him the bitter news. They tell him that our friend just came from Kufa and this is how he left the state of Kufa. The body of Muslim ibn Aqil and Hani ibn Urwa were being dragged in the streets of Kufa. La ilaha illallah. Here the Imam alayhi salam, upon hearing about the martyrdom of Muslim ibn Aqil, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raj'un. He breaks into tears. His entire caravan cries for Muslim ibn Aqil, how he was oppressed, how mercilessly he was dragged in the streets of Kufa. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi loved Muslim ibn Aqil. And one reason why he loved Aqil, his cousin, the father of Muslim, is because of his son Muslim. Al-Shaykh al-Saduq, may Allah bless his soul, in his book Al-Amali, he narrates a hadith from Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas states that Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam once said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Ya Rasulallah, you love Aqil. It seems like you love my brother Aqil. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said, yes, I love Aqil. One is for Abu Talib. He's the son of Abu Talib, and Abu Talib defended me. Abu Talib was my supporter. So I love him because of that. Secondly, I love him because of his son. وَإِنَّ وَلَدَهُ مَقْتُولٌ فِي مَحَبَّةِ وَلَدِكِ His son is going to be killed in the love of your son, O Ali. Muslim ibn Aqil is going to be killed in the path of Hussein. فَتَدْمَعُ عَلَيْهِ عُيُونُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ The eyes of the believers shall shed tears for Muslim ibn Aqil. This is one sign of iman, my dear brothers and sisters. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He states that when the believers hear about the tragedy of Muslim ibn Aqil, they cry over Muslim ibn Aqil. وَتُصَلِّ عَلَيْهِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. And the great angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send their prayers on Muslim ibn Aqil. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi begins to cry and cry and cry until the tears soak his beard. And he says, "Oh Allah, I complain to you for what will happen to my family." Imam Hussein alayhi salam is heart-wrenched upon hearing that Muslim ibn Aqil has been martyred. Then the Imam alayhi salam, according to one report, he calls his sister Zainab. He tells her, "Bring me Hamida." Hamida was the young daughter of Muslim ibn Aqil. She was with the caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam on their way to Karbala. They brought Hamida. The Imam alayhi salam, he embraced her. The Imam alayhi salam started to wipe on her head, showing her love and compassion. She senses that something is not right. She says, "Oh, Aba Abdullah, oh my beloved uncle, what happened? Why is it that you wipe on my head as they do so for the orphans? Did something happen to my father Muslim?" The Imam alayhi salam states, "Bunayya Hamida, my beloved daughter Hamida, I am your father. Now I am your father. And my daughters are your sisters." La ilaha illallah. Imagine this young girl hearing the tragic death of her father Muslim ibn Aqil. Once they learn that Muslim ibn Aqil has been martyred, Imam Hussein alayhi salam asks his brothers, "What do you want to do? Are you going to proceed with me? Are you going to go back now that Muslim has been killed?" They said, "No, we are firm and we will never go back. We are firm with you, O Aba Abdullah. We won't abandon you. We will go and seek revenge from these evil people." So the Imam alayhi salam, it seems he wanted to test them, to see if they would still hold on to his mission. Because sometimes it could be the case that people join you for worldly reasons. Muslim ibn Aqil is in Kufa, 18,000 people pledged him allegiance. We might get some position once we get to Kufa. So the Imam wanted to ask them, "Are you still firm in this revolution?" They said, "Yes, Aba Abdullah, we are firm." So it was in Thalabiyyah, according to a number of reports, that the Imam alayhi salam is informed of the martyrdom of Muslim ibn Aqil. It has also been reported that the Imam was in Zarud or in Zubala when Muslim ibn Aqil's news reached him. It could be the case that multiple times Imam Hussein's caravan was informed of the martyrdom of Muslim, because you had travelers who were coming from Iraq and they would meet the Imam in these different villages and they would inform him. Now, after Muslim ibn Aqil was martyred, a number of people abandoned Imam Hussein alayhi salam. A number of people had joined the Imam for worldly reasons. The Imam is going to Iraq. He may become the caliph, the Imam, the leader over there. And so we want to stay close to him, so he gives us some very important positions. Upon learning that Muslim ibn Aqil was killed, they abandoned Imam Hussein. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries us. Who's sincere? Who's rising only for Allah, only for justice? So you see that the size of the supporters of Imam Hussein gets smaller and smaller. Those 72 or so were those who were the best of companions in the history of humankind. Subhanallah. It's amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries us human beings in these difficult moments. Now, Muslim ibn Aqil, shortly before he was killed, he sends a message to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He tells him, "Oh Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, do not come to Kufa. Earlier I had written to you to come. I told you to come. 18,000 people pledged me allegiance, but now people have betrayed me. People are going to betray you, O Aba Abdullah. So I write to you, do not come to Kufa. At least be aware of what's happening to Kufa." The Imam alayhi salam continues his journey towards Kufa. At noon, while still in Tha'labiyya, the Imam alayhi salam takes a short nap. In his dream, he sees someone saying the following statement: "Antum tusra'una wal manaya tusra'u bikum ila al-jannah." You are quickly traveling, but death is also traveling with you to paradise. Imam Hussein alayhi salam informs his family of this dream that he had. So everyone knew that death is certain. Death is coming at us. So Ali ibn al-Hussein, Ali ibn al-Akbar, he asked Imam Hussein alayhi salam, "Ya abatah, awalasna ala al-haq?" But aren't we on the truth? Death is coming to us. It's racing to us. But are we not on the truth? The Imam alayhi salam tells him, "Yes, my beloved son, we are on the truth." Then he says, "Idhan la nubali bil maut." Then why should we be so concerned? Then in this case, we're not even concerned. We're not concerned to die. Whether we fall upon death or death falls upon us, we are not concerned because we are on the haq. That's what gives consolation to believers. Sometimes you may be going through difficult trials. Your community is against you. Your family is against you. You're going through difficulties. Know that the haq is with you. What's the worst thing that can happen? The worst thing that can happen is you may die. You lose a position. You lose money. If you're on the haq, Allah has given you everything. You have the most valuable treasure in the universe if you're with the haq. Because the haq eternalizes your soul. The haq means eternal bliss with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eternal. Infinite. Think about that. Look at the mentality of Ali Akbar. "Oh Allah, if I am on the haq, I have nothing to be concerned about. So what if we die? I achieve victory. We have to die anyway. If I die now on the haq, then at least I'm guaranteed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless me for eternity." It was also in Tha'labiyya that a man asked Imam Hussein alayhi salam about the Imam of our time, the Imam of every time. Al-Shaykh al-Saduq narrates this hadith that Imam Hussein alayhi salam met a man by the name of Bishr ibn Ghalib al-Asadi. This was in Tha'labiyya. He told him, "Yabna Rasulullah, inform me about Surah Al-Isra, verse 71. يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. On that day, on the day of judgment, we shall call people with their imam, with their respective leaders, imams. What does this verse mean? Imam Hussein salawatullahi alayhi responded by saying, إِمَامٌ دَعَى إِلَى هُدَى فَأَجَابُهُ إِلَيْهِ. You have two types of imams. One imam, he calls to guidance, and people accepted his invitation, they followed him. And then there is an imam who invites to deviation and misguidance, and there are people who follow him. So what happens to them on the day of judgment? The first are in heaven, the second are in hell. On the day of judgment, Allah will call you with your imam. Who did you follow in this dunya? Who was your imam? This is a verse in the Holy Quran. If I followed the imam of my time, and in our time it's al-imam al-Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala faraja, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call me with the imam of my time. Our very important question to other Muslims from other schools of thought: who's your imam today? On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to call you with your imam. Who's your imam today? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam makes it very clear that there must be an imam in every era. And if you die without knowing that imam, you die the death of jahiliyyah. So we find that in Al-Tha'labiyya, Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam brings our attention to the importance of following the imam of your time who's on the haq, who truly represents Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has also been reported that the Imam alayhi salam, while in this station in Al-Tha'labiyya, he recited these beautiful lines of poetry. We cannot get enough of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. On this journey, my dear brothers and sisters, we want to learn about everything that the Imam said as much as we can. The moral lessons, the ethical lessons, the spiritual lessons that Imam Hussein alayhi salam has for us. The Imam alayhi salam says these lines of poetry, and there is so much knowledge in these lines of poetry. The Imam alayhi salam states, فَإِن تَكُنِ الدُّنْيَا تُعَدُّ نَفِيسَةً. If people consider this dunya as valuable, فَدَارُ ثَوَابِ اللَّهِ أَعْلَى وَأَنْبَلُ. The reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment is higher and more noble and greater. It's much more valuable than this dunya. وَإِن تَكُنِ الْأَمْوَالُ لِلْتَرْكِ جَمْعُهَا. And if this is the reality, that people gather and accumulate money only to leave them behind. Even if you have $1 billion in your bank account, you have all these assets, you're not taking them with you. You're gathering money only to leave them behind. That's the reality. فَمَا بَعْلُ مَتْرُوكٍ بِهِ الْحُرُّ يَبْخَلُ. The Imam says, if this is the reality, if you're a free man, if you're a free human being, why do you become stingy with something that you're going to leave anyway? Something that I cannot take with me, I have to leave. Why be cheap and stingy with it? Why do I have this avarice and greed? Give it in the way of Allah, in the way of humanity, because you have to leave it anyway. وَإِن تَكُنِ الْأَرْزَاقُ قِسْمًا مُقَدَّرًا. And if the sustenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been decreed by Allah, Allah assigns your sustenance. فَقِلَّةُ حِرْصِ الْمَرْءِ فِي الْكَسْبِ أَجْمَلُ. Then don't be so greedy. Some people, they overexhaust themselves. One father once told me, and he was really exhausted, maybe working 18 hours a day, stressed out, destroying his health. I told him, what's the matter? Why are you doing this to yourself? Do you really need to work that hard? It's good to work hard in Islam, but not to the point where you're causing destruction to your health. He says, Sayyid, I have two daughters. I want to buy a house for them so that I can secure their future. I told him, Habibi, did you just forget that Allah exists? Yes, it's good to provide something for your daughters and their future. But for you to overwork and kill yourself to work, are you forgetting that Allah is the Razzaq? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives sustenance? Did you just forget that? Allah will take care of your daughters. Don't worry. Just like He took care of you. Right now, you don't even have time to see your daughters. You think they appreciate that? Okay, you gave them a house, but they did not even see their father as they were growing up. The Imam says, don't be so greedy. وَإِن تَكُنِ الْأَبْدَانُ لِلْمَوْتِ أُنْشِئَتْ. And subhanAllah, how powerful is this last line. The Imam says, and if these bodies were created for death, meaning the end result is death for these bodies. فَقَتْلُ مْرِئٍ بِالسَّيْفِ فِي اللَّهِ أَفْضَلُ. Then for someone to die in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be killed in the battlefield, is much better. If I have to die anyway, at least let me die in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam here is hinting towards his martyrdom. The Imam is basically telling us, it's my honor to be martyred. Yes, it's sad. It's tragic how he was martyred, but it was an honor for Imam Hussein, salawatullahi alayhi. One of the next stops in the journey of Imam Hussein alayhi salam to Karbala is a village called the Husam. It was basically a small mountain on the way to Kufa. When the Imam reaches this point, a man comes and he says, Allahu Akbar. The Imam alayhi salam tells him, indeed, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater. He's the greatest. But why did you say this phrase? What made you say it? He said, I see palm trees in the distant, looming to me in the distant horizon. Now, there were some people familiar with that area, with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They told him, oh Imam, there are no palm trees over here. This is a desert area. He's mistaken. So the Imam alayhi salam asks them, then what do you think he saw? They said, we know what he saw. He's basically seeing the horses and the horsemen approaching from far. From far, it may look like palm trees, but he's definitely seeing an army over there. horses in the distance. So what should we do now? The enemy is chasing us. An army is coming after us. They said, let's go to this mountain of the Husam. Let's camp by the mountain so that we can face the enemy from one side. They cannot attack us from all four directions. Because when you're in an open field, desert field, you can be attacked and surrounded. Let's go to this mountain so we can face the enemy. What happens in the Husam? Here is truly when the great tragedy of Karbala begins. And when the hearts of those children become trembled with fear, Al-Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi arrives with 1,000 soldiers dispatched by Ibn Ziyad. When they come and approach the caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which was camped by the mountain, the Imam notices by looking at their faces that they are thirsty. Even their horses are thirsty. Now the Imam alayhi salam had water with him in the caravan. The Imam tells his companions, feed them water and even spray their horses with water so they can cool off. Allahu Akbar, Ya Aba Abdullah. How merciful you are. 1,000 men have come to fight you, to block you from going to Kufa, and you give them water? Show me a heart more compassionate than the heart of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein was so loving to the extent that one narration states, there was a man by the name of Ali ibn Ta'an al-Muharibi. He did not know how to drink from those water jugs, because those water jugs had to be tilted in a particular way so you can drink from them. This guy did not know how to drink from these water jugs. They were new to him. So he keeps trying to drink water, it keeps spilling. So the Imam tells him, no, you have to carry it in this particular way for you to drink water. He still doesn't get it. Finally, the Imam alayhi salam, he himself comes and with his blessed hands, he carries the water jug and he shows him how to drink. Who? An enemy who had come to fight. I don't understand how you can kill such a man. How you can deny him water and kill him thirsty? La ilaha illallah. He feeds his own enemy with his own blessed hands. Then the time of noon comes, the time for salat comes. The adhan is called. The Imam alayhi salam gives a speech in the presence of Hur and the massive army of 1,000 men who were with him. The Imam alayhi salam states in his sermon, he says, I did not come except after you, the people of Kufa, sent me letters. You told me, come, we don't have an imam. If you promise that you'll honor my invitation, I'll proceed. I will come to Kufa. But if you don't want me to come, I'll go back. No one replied. Pitch silence. Then the Imam alayhi salam looks at Hur. He tells him, it's the time for salah. Don't you want to pray with your companions? I'm going to lead my companions in congregational prayer, jama'ah prayer. Don't you also want to lead your companions in salat al-jama'ah? Hur says, no, Aba Abdullah, we'll pray behind you. Subhanallah. You accept him that he's just and you pray behind him, but you're coming here to fight him? That's because everyone knew Imam Hussein alayhi salam was on the haqq. Believe me, there was no doubt. They knew this was the grandson of Rasulullah. He's the symbol of honor, justice, purity, and infallibility. Then later, after the Imam alayhi salam finishes the Asr prayer, he gives another speech. And he makes it very clear that we, the Ahlul Bayt, have a greater right to the caliphate than these evil rulers who are spreading corruption around the earth. But you sent me letters. You invited me to come to Kufa. Now you block me from going to Kufa. If you've changed your mind, that's fine. I'll go back. Hur proceeds over here. He says, I don't know what you're talking about, Aba Abdullah. Which letters are you talking about? The Imam tells his companions, you see this big pack of letters? There was a big stack of letters over there. The Imam says, bring me that back. I want to show Hur. The Imam alayhi salam unpacks the bag with thousands of letters in it. The Imam says to Hur, here, see, The people of Kufa, they wrote to me inviting me to come here. Umar looks at the letters and then he says, Hussein, I wasn't among those who sent you a letter. It was not me. I never wrote you any letter. But here's the deal. We've been commanded by Ibn Ziyad, the governor of Kufa, to take you to him. I have to arrest you and take you to Ibn Ziyad. The Imam alayhi salam tells Hur, death is more within your reach than for you to capture me, arrest me, and take me to Ibn Ziyad. I'm not going to the evil, corrupt ruler Ibn Ziyad. Then the Imam alayhi salam states, let's pack and leave. Hur blocks him with his 1,000 soldiers. The Imam says, may your mother grieve on you. It's an Arabic expression. When someone commits a violation, you tell him that. May your mother grieve on you, O Hur. Hur becomes angry over here. But you know what he says to Imam Hussein? He says, I swear by God, if you were another person, I'd say the same to you, meaning may your mother grieve on you. But how can I say that when your mother is Fatima? See, they even know who the mother of Imam Hussein is. It seems, according to scholarly analysis, that this statement by Hur saved him. Eventually, it led him to his repentance and later he joined Imam Hussein. He did not insult Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. He had this much ma'rifah that Fatima is a pure lady. You cannot in any way insult her or insult the family of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And this teaches us, don't underestimate the power of a small deed. What Hur said probably saved him. He showed respect for Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. That respect ended up saving him. Never underestimate something that you may consider insignificant. It's these small deeds in such moments that eventually will save you. Indeed, good deeds save us. Then the Imam alayhi salam tells him, okay, Hur, what do you want now? He says, I must take you to Ibn Ziyad. The Imam says, no, I'm not going to Ibn Ziyad. Get that out of your head. I am not going to Ibn Ziyad. Hur says, okay, then I'm not going to leave you. I've been commanded to stick by your side. Then Hur says the following. He says, O Hussein, I have not been instructed to fight you, but I have been commanded to not separate from you. I have to stick by your side until I take you to Kufa. Now, if you insist and you refuse, okay, then take a path that does not take you to Kufa and also does not take you back to Medina. In the meantime, I will write to Ibn Ziyad asking him what we need to do. So this is the deal that I can make with you. You're not allowed to go to Kufa. You're not allowed to go to back to Medina. Just stay in the area. Go north to the left of Kufa and we'll see what happens. Maybe you, O Hussein, can write a letter to Ibn Ziyad or Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Maybe you can negotiate with them. And hopefully things will be resolved. Because I hate, Hur is saying this, I hate to be tried by you, O Hussein. I don't want to fight you. I'm hopeful that Allah will save me from having to confront you and fight you. So let's give it some time. I'll write to Ibn Ziyad. And hopefully during these few days, Allah will give us a solution. See, this indicates that Hur did not want to fight Imam Hussein. Yes, initially he deviated by siding with Ibn Ziyad, by pledging him allegiance, by blocking Imam Hussein alayhi salam from going to Karbala, which is a grave sin. You're blocking the Imam of your time from going to Kufa. And he became the cause, you know, for Imam Hussein alayhi salam to basically take a detour and go to Karbala. But he repented in the end. So we can tell from this conversation, Hur did not want to fight Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He knew it was wrong to fight the Imam of his time. Now, one of the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, by the name of Nafi' ibn Hilal, was also there. He gave a beautiful speech around the Husam, which indicates what a great intellect he had. Let's look at some of these speeches, my dear brothers and sisters, for us to know the mentality of the companions of Imam Hussein. He basically says to Imam Hussein, he says, oh, Abu Abdullah, you know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, not everybody loved him. Is there anyone greater than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? Not everyone loved him. There were hypocrites. There were people who fought him. Your father Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, not everybody loved him. People split into two groups. One group supported him, another group fought Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. And the same with you is, O Aba Abdullah. There are people who have enmity towards you. But I want to tell you something. Just as we view Rasulullah and Imam Ali, we view you, O Hussein. We have pledged you our allegiance and we will not break this allegiance. So we are with you. Do as you wish. You'd like to go to the east, go to the east. You'd like to go to the west, go to the west. You'd like to fight, we are here with you until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given us iman and insight and basira. And we are with you. We befriend whoever you befriend. And we are the enemies to whoever is an enemy to you. Look at the ma'rifah that Nafi' ibn Hilal had. He's basically teaching us that, look, being popular with people is not an indication that you're on the haqq. Most people sided with Yazid and Ibn Ziyad. But so what? They were not on the haqq. Your goal is not to be loved by everyone. I know some people, they try to kill themselves. Everyone has to approve of me. Everyone has to love me. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, not everybody loves God. There are people who are against God, people who fight God, people who reject God. You think you're holier than Allah? Look at Nafi' ibn Hilal's mentality. He's basically saying, oh, Aba Abdullah, yes, people have abandoned you. Only if you have stood by your side. But that does not reduce from your status. So what? Numbers are never an indication of the truth. There are some people who hate you, Ya Hussein. Because someone can think, if Imam Hussein is so pure and so good, why did he have haters? Why did people fight him? People hate the haqq. The Quran states, وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. Most people do not like the haqq. People hate the haqq. People hate the truth. So Aba Abdullah, just because people have abandoned you, don't think this will weaken our hearts. This will weaken our faith. We are firm by you, O Aba Abdullah. Just like your grandfather, he had people who hated him. Imam Ali had haters. So you also are like them. This indicates the ma'rifah of a man like Nafi' ibn Hilal. Then the Imam alayhi salam continues his journey. He reaches a station after the Husam on his way to Karbala. He reaches a place called Al-Bayda. It is narrated in Tabari and other sources that the Imam alayhi salam said to his companions and the companions of Hur, and it's a powerful speech that he gave. He says, oh people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my grandfather said, that if you see a corrupt ruler who has desecrated the sanctities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has no regard for the laws of God, and he is not following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he rules with corruption, he's sinful, and he does not try to do anything through your actions, through your words, then what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the same fate of that tyrant. If you don't object to what Yazid is doing, to what Ibn Ziyad is doing, your fate is the same fate. If they go to hell, you also will go with them. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because you've essentially accepted their wrongdoing, or at least you're giving a green light to their wrongdoing. A believer can never do that. Now, if you can't act, at least reject it through your words. Condemn what they're doing. So in this speech, the Imam alayhi salam makes it very clear that it is an obligation upon every Muslim to rise against Yazid ibn Muawiyah. It's not only his revolution, it's Islam's revolution. And therefore, all those Muslims who did not join Imam Hussein and they heard his call, they are sinful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unless they repent, of course. But they committed a major sin. The Imam here makes it an obligation upon every Muslim to stand. Then the Imam alayhi salam states, أَلَا وَإِنَّ هَؤُلَاءَ قَدْ لَزِمُوا طَاعَةَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَتَرَكُوا طَاعَةَ الرَّحْمَانِ. These people have followed shaitan and they've abandoned the Rahman. They've spread corruption everywhere. وَأَنَا أَحَقُّ مَنْ غَيَّرُ. Who is more rightful Then me to step up. If Hussein doesn't act on such a day, then tell me who will. The Imam here is justifying why he's rising. I have to stand up. I am the most rightful person to change something, to do something, to lead this revolution. If I'm not going to do that, and I am the Imam, and I'm the grandson of Rasulullah, then who will? Then the Imam alayhi salam states, and you were the ones, O people of Kufa, who wrote to me, your letters came to me. And I guarantee you, if you stick to your allegiance and you stand by me, Allah will guide us. Allah will guide us to the path of peace, to the path of true Islam. فَأَنَا الْحُسَيْنُ بْنُ عَلِيٍ. If you have any doubts about who I am Hussein, the son of Ali. I am the son of Fatima, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He still gave them hope. The Imam was telling the Kufans, look, it's still not too late. We can save society. Just sacrifice. All we need to do is rise and sacrifice. Do not be intimidated by Ibn Ziyad. Do you know who I am? I'm Hussein. I'm the master of the youth of paradise. You're with the Imam of your time. What more do you want? Do you care about what happens when you're standing with the Imam of your time? There's still time. He still gave them hope. Then the Imam so beautifully states, نفسي مع أنفسكم وأهلي مع أهلكم. Myself is with yourselves. I am present. My soul here, Hussein's soul is with you. My family is with your family. Look at the compassion of the Imam. Look at the humbleness of the Imam. I'm with you. My family is like your family. We're one team. What an opportunity Allah gave to those people. But they rejected that divine opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam continues to tell them in Bayda, in that powerful sermon, the Imam tells them, I am your role model. I'll teach you. I'll help you figure out the truth. But if you don't, and here comes the warning, if you abandon me, if you do not pledge allegiance to me, if you break your oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is not the first time that you do that. You did that with my father, Ali ibn Abi Talib. You did that with my brother, Al-Imam Al-Hasan salawatullahi alayhi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seek revenge from you. But look, I don't need you. I have my path. I don't need you. Don't think that I'm calling on you because I need you. I am just showing you the right path. Here's your final luck. Take your luck if you want. But unfortunately, they did not listen to the call of Imam Hussein, salawatullahi alayhi. My dear brothers and sisters, when you make violations, Allah gives you many chances. But until when? If you keep rejecting, then you'll be doomed. You'll put yourself in a trap from which you cannot take yourself out. This was the last opportunity that Allah gave the Kufans. Come on, come and join Hussein. You've made bad mistakes. It's okay, Allah will forgive you. Come now. But they rejected, unfortunately. The next station on his way to Karbala is Al-Udhayb. Hur is not letting go. He says, oh Hussein, be mindful of Allah when it comes to your life. Don't get yourself killed. I witness that if you fight, you will be fought. And based on what I see, if you fight, you're going to be killed. Just submit and surrender to Ibn Ziyad. The Imam tells him, oh Hur, you are threatening me with death? And you think you have the audacity to kill me? How do you have the audacity? Don't you know I'm the master of the youth of paradise? You've reached this point, oh Hur. The Imam tells him, I don't know what to say to you, oh Hur. But I will say what one of the Aws said to his brother when he set out to fight with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. And his brother told him, look, you're going to get killed. Don't go with Muhammad. You're going to get killed. What did his brother say from Aws? سَأَمْضِي وَمَا بِالْمَوْتِ عَارٌ عَلَى الْفَتَى. I'm going. And it's not a shame for a man to die. إِذَا مَا نَوَى حَقًّا وَجَاهَدَ مُسْلِمًا. If he's on the right path. And he has submitted to Allah. Hur, don't threaten me with death. Do you know who I am? I am Hussein, son of Ali. Don't threaten me with death. When he said this, Hur backed off. He's like, okay, I can't do anything at this point. Then a number of people come from Kufa. Some reports say 4, some say 6. They brought with them the horse of Nafi' ibn Hilal. He had left his horse behind. He told them, bring it to me when you meet Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Nafi' had joined Imam Hussein shortly before that. So these people, they come to join the Imam. Hur tried to block them. He said, no, 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 no. These people are not from your companions and they can't join you. Either I will arrest them or tell them to go back. The Imam says, no, they are my companions and I'll protect them just I protect my caravan. They are my supporters. And you, Hur, you promised that you will not harass us until Ibn Ziyad writes to you. Hur said, yes, I did promise, but they're not your companions. They just arrived from Kufa. The Imam says, no, they are my companions. And they are like those who came with me. So stick to your word, O Hur. Hur gives up and he stops at that point. He says, okay, let them join you. The Imam alayhi salam asked these men to update him on the status in Kufa. What's going on in Kufa? They told him, O Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, as for the nobles, their bribes have increased. They're being paid to abandon you. And money have made their hearts against you. This is a tough test. According to some reports, Ibn Ziyad was promising some of them 30,000 golden coins. That's about $6 million in today's value. To fight Imam Hussein, to abandon Imam Hussein. What are you willing to do for that money? Many of us, for much less than that, we're willing to commit violations. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries us in this dunya. But as for the laymen, they said to the Imam alayhi salam, their hearts are with you, but their swords are against you. They're intimidated, they're threatened by Ibn Ziyad, and they don't want to make that sacrifice. So the Imam's companions came to know about this bitter reality. Kufa has flipped completely, and a massive army is being prepared. One narration tells us that a conversation happened between Imam Hussein alayhi salam and a man by the name of At-Tirmah. He was a companion of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and Imam Ali once sent him to deliver a letter to Muawiyah. He was very eloquent, and he embarrassed Muawiyah when he visited him on that journey. He had come from Kufa to do something for his family, buy, sell something. So he tells the Imam alayhi salam, he says, oh Imam, oh Hussein, I don't see many people with you. If your enemy wasn't only except those who are here, Hur and the 1,000 people with him, then it would suffice as a big enemy. Imagine if more people come to fight you. If it was only this army, it would be a big army to fight. Imagine if more people come. And today I left Kufa, O Hussein, and never in my life had I seen such a massive army being prepared to fight you. I asked, what's going on? They said they are being mobilized to fight Hussein. I ask you in God's name not to go to Kufa. If you want, come to my village. We have a fortified village. No one has ever managed to ransack that village. Stay with us here and I'll find people to support you, people to defend you. The Imam says, no, I've already informed the people of Kufa that I'm coming. I don't want to break my promise, but thank you for the offer. He says, okay. At-Tirmah says to Imam Hussein, okay, let me go back to Kufa. I need to deliver to my family what I need to deliver, the merchandise that I've bought for them, and then I'll come to support you. The Imam tells him, if you want to support me, then hurry up, hasten. What happens, according to these reports? At-Tirmah goes back to Kufa. He spends a few days finishing some errands, and then he comes back towards Imam Hussein's caravan to support him, only to find out that the day of Ashura has already taken place. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam has been massacred in Karbala. Allahu Akbar. Imagine the tawfiq, the success that this man missed. Had he only come a few days earlier, he would have had the honor of being one of those 72, 73 companions of Imam Hussein. And for thousands of years, people would have paid respect to him for being one of the shuhada of Karbala. Now, why is it that Imam Hussein alayhi salam did not accept his offer? The Imam did not want the Kufans to have any justification. You invited me, stick to your promise. I'm not going somewhere else. If the Imam would have backed out and he would have gone to At-Tirmah's village, you know, the Kufans could have said, why didn't you come? We were waiting for you. It was fake news that Kufa flipped. They could have made any fabrication and lie over here. Who told you there's a big army here? Okay, there was a big army, but we also had a big army supporting you. The Imam needs to fulfill the mission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There should be no excuses for anyone. My dear brothers and sisters, the story of At-Tirmah and him not being able to join Imam Hussein is a lesson for us not to procrastinate. Some of us keep
delaying our obligations. And many people struggle with procrastination. How do we address it? Here are some quick tips. Number one, make a vow to Allah, a promise to Allah, or one of the members of Ahlul Bayt, that you'll get it done within a certain duration, whether it's your prayer, fasting, studies, whatever you need to get done. This makes it much more likely for you to follow through when you've made an official oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, remember death 20 times a day. The Prophet says in one hadith, if you want to become high, like the status of martyrs and siddiqeen, the truthful ones, remember death 20 times a day. This reminds you that you can depart this world any moment. Any moment I can leave this dunya. So while you can't work, get it done. You keep delaying it and procrastinating. How do you know you will live till tomorrow to achieve it? Number three, prioritize. Sometimes when you have many things on your plate, you fall into procrastination. Prioritize, identify what's the most important thing that I have to do, get it out of the way, fulfill it, then worry about other things. When you don't prioritize, you just get lost, you stop, you lose energy, and you don't continue. Number four, avoid distractions. Many things distract us, and they push us into procrastination. Do not let anything that's trivial, that's not important, to distract you. The Imam alayhi salam moves to the next station, which is Qasr Bani Muqatil. After Qasr Bani Muqatil, the Imam is now heading north. He arrives on the 2nd of Muharram on a Thursday in the land of Karbala. When the Imam arrives in Karbala, that's when Hur receives a letter from Ibn Ziyad commanding him to confine Imam Hussein in a desert area, not in a protected village, not by the river. He tells him, I want you to push Hussein to an open area, desert area, where it's not fortified and there is no water. Imam Hussein is now moving through Karbala when his horse stops. This is the end of the journey, my dear brothers and sisters. We've come from Mecca and now to the arrival of Imam Hussein in the land of Karbala. The horse of the Imam stops. The Imam sees this land. He says, I passed by this place with my father, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Once we were passing by this place and my father cried. And the Imam says, a group of Al-Muhammad shall be killed here. This is where they shall be killed. This is where their blood shall be spilled. And this is where our graves shall be. My grandfather has informed me of this. Allahu Akbar. The Imam, he was familiar with this place. So he asked his companions, what's the name of this land? Let's confirm where we are. Someone said Ghadriyat. The Imam says, does it have another name? Someone said Nainawa. The Imam is looking for that name that he heard from Rasulullah, from his father Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Finally, someone said Karbala. As soon as Imam Hussein alayhi salam hears the word Karbala, he breaks into tears and he raises his hand in dua. He says, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-karbi wal-bala. He says, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from karb, which is trials, tribulations, and bala, tragedies. From difficulty and tragedy, because Karbala is a combination word. It's combined of these two. Then the Imam alayhi salam looks at his companions. He tells them, my dear companions, we shall settle over here. Let's not move any further. That's it. This is the end of our journey. We're not going anywhere else. Hahuna mahattu rikabina. This is the place of our settlement. هَهُنَا تُقْتَلُ رِجَالُنَا. Here our men shall be slaughtered. Here our men shall be killed. هَهُنَا تُذْبَحُ أَطْفَالُنَا. Here our infants, our children shall be killed and massacred. هَهُنَا يَا تُسْبَى نِسَاؤُنَا. Here our women will be taken as prisoners, as captives. The Imam told his companions what's going to happen in Karbala. But here also our graves shall be visited according to my grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Lady Zainab, she breaks into tears upon hearing this. Now it became yaqeen, certainty for everyone that Karbala is their ultimate destination and they shall be massacred in Karbala. My dear brothers and sisters, I take you some 50 days ahead, 48 days ahead on the Arba'een, when Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari approached the land of Karbala. And he was by the grave of Imam Hussein when he saw a caravan coming. Then he sent Atiyah al-Awfi, he told him, go and see who the caravan is. He came to Jabir, he told him, oh Jabir, stand. This is Zain al-Abidin. This is the haram of Rasulullah. The caravan, the family of Imam Hussein, they have come to Karbala. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari embraces Imam Zain al-Abidin. Jabir tells him, oh Ali ibn al-Husayn, tell me what happened here. There was so much in the heart of Imam Zain al-Abidin. At the Arba'een, he tells him, Ya Jabir, let me tell you what happened here in Karbala. Everything Imam Hussein said happened in Karbala. Jabir, here our men were killed. I'll show you who got killed where. Here the infants were massacred, the children were killed. Jabir, here our tents were set to fire. Jabir, here the women were taken as captives. La ilaha illallah. So it was on the 2nd of Muharram that Imam Hussein alayhi salam arrives in the land of Karbala, and they would only spend 8 days in this blessed land before the day of Ashura, the most tragic day in the history of humankind. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا آلَ مُحَمَّدٍ أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج والعافية والنصر واجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه والمستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم اشفي كل مريض، ألبسه ثوب العافية والشفاء يا الله. اللهم اقضي دين كل مدين، اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا. اللهم ارزقنا زيارة الحسين، اللهم ارزقنا شفاعة الحسين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.